I've got some spiritual insights on the massacre at the movie theater in Colorado last week, as well as on the Penn State scandal. You're tuned in to the right broadcast today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
On Friday, we postponed our normal You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. We're going to have that today. But there are just too many issues surrounding the tragic massacre in Colorado. Too many important things we need to talk about with the painful loss of life. And then news of the sanctions against Penn State, which are of importance to all of us in America, whether you're into sports or not. Important to all of us in America. So we've got some weighty things to talk about, but I've got some important spiritual insights, friends. We need to look head on at some of what's happening in our nation. We need to look head on at the level of crisis that we're in, and then we can really point to a God-based, Jesus-based solution. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, there are a bunch of things we're going to get into, but I want to put something out for you right now, so get ready to call. There are many people who are pointing at the massacre in the movie theater in Colorado last week and saying this is further proof that we need more stringent gun control laws. And the whole problem is lack of gun control here in America. That's why we are such a violent nation. There are others saying, no, the whole problem is there was no one in the building who had a concealed weapon because of the laws in that city already. And if someone or several people had been carrying, this would not have happened, or the carnage could have been cut much shorter and the killer stopped on the spot. This is not the main focus we're going to have. But I want to give you an opportunity to discuss this. I posted this question on my Facebook page earlier today, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. It's gotten a lot of very passionate responses. So if you feel you can make a good case, or you just have a strong opinion that the massacre in Colorado is further proof that we need more stringent gun control laws, call me right now, 866-348-7884. If you feel the exact opposite, that this is an example of why we need to have more people carrying concealed handguns and more responsible citizens willing to jump in situations like this, give me a call. On either side of this issue, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your case. 866-348-7884. I want to put out one other question for you. And then I've got some stats when we come back. You talk about eye-opening. You talk about shocking. And what I'm about to share with you is both eye-opening and shocking. But again, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the carnage, in the midst of families, can you imagine the trauma these families are in right now at this moment as we speak, the shock of the losses and the senselessness of it all? There is a solution that we will be pointing to today. But I've got some shocking stats when we come back. I want to put out one other question for you. Is this further evidence that there needs to be more censorship in our movies, video games? In other words, that the level of violence is so out of control that we need to do something about that as well, that we need to address violence on TV, movies, video games. What's your take on that? 866-348-7884. So I'm going to be going to the phones earlier than normal today, letting you weigh in on both sides of the issue about gun control, talking about violence in the media. But first, when we come back, some stats that will shock you. Open your eyes. We need God. America needs to turn to the Lord.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All today, both hours of broadcasting, I will be focusing on the spiritual lessons to be learned from the tragedy in Aurora, Colorado last week, as well as lessons to be learned from the Penn State scandal as sanctions come against Penn State today that are eye-opening and sobering. If you live in this country, friends, this is an issue of concern. Our hope is in God. We are a sin-sick nation. We have a rich history. Excuse me. We have great potential, but we are a sin-sick nation, and we need to turn to God with humility, with broken hearts. 866-34-TRUTH. And I first want to discuss the question of gun control. This is secondary to me to the larger debate, but it's something that we will discuss. And again, I'm asking for callers on both sides. And in fact, I will do my best to alternate sides on this. Does the massacre in Colorado point to the need for greater gun control, or is it really the opposite? It points to the need for more concealed handguns, more responsible citizens able to protect themselves. Before I go to the phones, and we'll also talk about violence in the media, here's some shocking things. Are you ready? The massacre in Aurora, Colorado, July 20th, was the sixth multiple shooting in July so far. The sixth multiple victim shooting in America in July. Total of 24 people killed and almost 100 wounded. Please hear me again. This is in July alone. This much tragedy, this much bloodshed, this much pain, this much agony, this much loss of life. We're not talking about individual murders, but multiple shootings. The sixth of the month of July, and on average, about 20 multiple shootings every year in America. I mean, how can that be? And listen to this litany of violence from the last 5 years. January 8th, 2011, Tucson, Arizona, political rally, 6 dead. November 5th, 2009, Fort Hood, Texas, 13 dead, Army base. April 3rd, 2009, Binghamton, New York, 13 dead, at an immigration center. March 30th, 2009, Carthage, North Carolina, 8 dead at a nursing home. March 29th, 2009, Santa Clara, California, 6 dead, family members. March 10th, 2009, Sampson, Alabama, 10 dead, including the killer's mother and grandparents. December 24th, 2008, Covina, California, 9 dead at a family Christmas party. September 2nd, 2008, Alger, Washington, 6 dead at several locations. February 4th, 2008, DeKalb, Illinois, 6 dead at a college campus. February 2nd, 2008, Chicago, Illinois, 5 dead at a store. December 24th, 2007, Carnation, Washington, 6 dead, family members. April 16th, 2007, Blacksburg, Virginia, 33 dead at a college campus. These are all irreplaceable, precious human lives as we give these numbers, these statistics, which are anything but statistics, to the families who've suffered so much for the lives that were cut down short. And then when we think of Colorado, I mean, how could we ever forget the tragedy of the Columbine High School massacre? Think of it, the teenage murderers reported to be laughing as they mowed down their fellow students and teachers at close range and in cold blood. How much did violence in the media play into this? How much did other factors play into this? And, you know, when you go down this list, many you can't tie together. It could be violence in the media with one, and then you've got a man influenced by radical Islam with another, and then others with mental illness, and others with family disputes, others disgruntled for various reasons. But we're a nation gripped with violence, and what makes it all the more grievous is that we're a nation entertained by violence. The level of violence in media is stunning. According to a report that I read posted by the University of Michigan Health System, an average American child will see 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders on TV by age 18. Do you know one of the reasons God destroyed the earth by a flood in Noah's day was the earth was filled with violence? We're entertained by it. Oh, I don't mean we're entertained by the tragic loss of lives in these massacres, but we're entertained by movie violence and TV violence and video game violence. It's probably far more obscene and intense than most of us would know. In fact, if you in the past were into violent video games, I'd like you to call as soon as some phone lines open up, 866-348-7884. I keep trying to get through. Those of you that were into violent video games before you were saved, or maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you're playing them right now, I'd like to know what's on them and what effect you feel it had on you as you played them. By the way, just posted half hour ago on Town Hall, my latest article, Violence and Destruction Are Heard Within Her. This is a prophetic message, a prophetic warning on Town Hall, a conservative political website. 866-34-TRUTH. Marie in Bayonne, New Jersey, what's your take on the gun control issue?
I think that they need to have like a database to keep track of these weirdos who, you know, are able to get their hands on guns. I mean, in my opinion, if this guy, you know, for the Colorado theater shootings, he was allowed to get like three major guns and he had a stockpile of ammunition. How can a 24-year-old guy get all that stuff and like nobody knows about it? What do they think he's actually doing with that? They're saying that we're violating the Second Amendment, but that's crazy. I mean, I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old daughter, and they're afraid to go to the movies as a result of this. And I mean, I understand all the stuff that you're saying. I'm a Christian about, you know, violence. I totally agree with you on that. I mean, I realize we have to have guns, you know, police officers and, you know, various people in law enforcement. But It's just gotten so out of hand that we have no control over it. I mean, and politicians don't want to talk about it. I don't know what the answer is completely, but I think that they need to do something.
All right, so it's the extreme nature of it, the fact he was able to get these types of assault weapons and then from
Absolutely.
Various... Got it. All clear.
I mean, don't you think that's a good point? I mean, because, you know, like, why is anybody allowed to get those? What is he doing with that? I mean, we should be able to ask questions as to why do you need those type of weapons and all that stuff. That's ridiculous. He shouldn't have been able to get his hands on those type of weapons.
All right, all clear, Marie. I'm going to let callers interact on that, but I think that's a very fair question to raise. Not just Second Amendment rights, but the level of guns that any individual can own as freely as they can be owned. 866-34-TRUTH. Abel, all right, we lost Abel there. Cliff in Colorado Springs, Colorado, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir, good to talk to you again. I come down on the side of... that there needs to be more responsible gun ownership and more responsible gun owners carrying weapons, whether concealed or unconcealed. Here in Colorado, we actually have a law that, you know, it's an open carry state. So basically, you can carry a firearm as long as it's in plain sight legally. There's not a lot of people that do that. There's probably more people that carry a weapon concealed, and that, in my opinion, is fine as long as they go through the proper screening processes. However, you know, you're always going to have nut jobs who are going to break the law. And, you know, your prior caller said that, you know, there should be tougher screening and things like that.
Some type of universal database so that if you're ordering ammunition online and you've also been to a gun dealer in one state and another state, that it would be caught on a universal database. I think that's what she was arguing for as well. But your response to that, Cliff?
I think to some degree she might be on a right track. But we have to make sure that, you know, our rights aren't infringed. That there's a reason for the Second Amendment, and essentially that's to protect ourselves from the government, from those police, and from the military who are carrying those weapons. And not to say that they're bad guys who are looking to do a sin, because they're not. But, you know, once you've let the cat out of the bag, in other words, you've invented firearms, you're not going to go back and you're not going to uninvent them. So the potential for bad guys to get their hands on those weapons is always there. And, you know, corrupt cops, corrupt military, looking to make a buck. So sell guns. People can make them in their own shops. They can.
All right. So bottom line, guns are out there, and the standard saying, if you outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. I read a study that said that death penalty, things like that in the law, will not stop one of these mass murderers, generally speaking. But the one thing that will stop them is concealed weapons. This was an academic study I read, and others would say, we just got a crazy gun culture in America. Face the facts. We're going to continue to discuss this. But I want to say there's a deeper issue with the violence in our nation. And we need to recognize the sin sickness of our nation and turn to God in humility and say, God, have mercy on our land.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be giving more spiritual reflections on the tragedy in Aurora, Colorado this past week. What makes it all the more tragic is the senselessness of it. It's one thing when there's a natural disaster and there was no way to get away from the situation. It's one thing if you have a terrorist attack on your country and you're fighting on the front lines to stop terrorists and you lay down your life for your country. It's another thing when someone gives themselves over to evil, gives themselves over to the enemy and becomes a tool of destruction, cutting down lives in a movie theater. And look, the last movie I went to, if I can remember, was with the grandkids. I mean, G-rated, that's normally our limit. So the movie theater is not some haven for me. But bottom line is people are just out there for a relaxed night and end up dead, wounded, traumatized. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Deeper than the gun control issue, which we are going to talk about, and we are talking about, deeper than the issue of violence in the media is the issue of violence in our society. Again, go to townhall.com, read my article, Violence and Destruction Are Heard Within Her. Do you know it says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 7, God speaking through Jeremiah immediately before Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians, God said, violence and destruction are heard in her. Her sickness and wounds are ever before me. And hey, we're thinking of the shedding of innocent blood in our nation. We haven't even talked about the shedding of innocent blood in the womb. The ultimate example of innocent bloodshed, the ultimate example of the loss of the sanctity of life in our culture. Our ultimate solution, friends, is we must regain the consciousness of God as a nation and the fear of God and the recognition of God. Otherwise, we are spiraling out of control. 866-34-TRUTH. Robert in Conroe, Texas. All right, we lost Robert, although he was arguing that states with more gun permits have less of this. And already in Aurora, Colorado, in terms of gun control, from what I understand, they had fairly strict gun control laws in place. John in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, I'm on the air?
Yes, you're on the air, John. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I'd like to make a few points. I'm against gun control because I don't think there is such a thing as true gun control. Whenever you impose those kind of things on the citizens, it's the bad guys that wind up having firearms. Mike Huckabee last night, I don't know if you heard his program, made a very excellent point that the first murder ever committed, there were no firearms. It's that murder is in the human heart. When Cain killed Abel, he said that murder is still in the heart of men today. I'm 62 next week, and I'd like to say that I grew up East Harris County, which is Houston, Texas area, and all through my life, most of my lifetime, most of my buddies and I had firearms. We knew how to use them. We liked to hunt. We liked to shoot. We would even have them in the racks of our vehicles at school, and no one were alarmed because they knew we were going hunting after school, after football, and no one killed anybody. If there was a problem, we handled it a different way. It just didn't occur to us to do that kind of thing. And that didn't happen in the 1920s, the 30s, or 40s, or 50s in America, when I would dare say that if you took any average high school and emptied the senior boys out, the guys, that a great more ratio would have firearms like they did in my classrooms and knew how to use them, had access to the ammo. No one had mass murderers. It didn't come to us then. But we had prayer in schools up to that point, up to the 60s. And I do believe that it's a spiritual thing. It's an attitude. Mm-hmm. That now that with the like you pointed out, I believe with many of the violent video games, with the violent movies, such an accent on violence, that the heart has become hardened to the murder of our fellow human being. Yeah. That the life is so precious that God's given to us is no longer considered that. I mean, in Mexico, just bordering my state, there's probably more murders in 1 year there than in any 10 years here in America. Yet those people cannot have guns. It's against the law for the average citizen of Mexico to own a firearm. But all the bad guys have firearms, semi-automatics, full automatic, and they murder at will. So I just don't think that gun laws have worked anywhere. They've not worked here. They've not worked elsewhere. And that's just not the answer. The answer is return to the principles that the good Lord laid down for us.
Mm. Hey, John, thank you for your articulate call, for weighing in. I appreciate that very much. 866-34-TRUTH. There are obviously fundamental issues there that I think everyone can agree on. Those of you who are with me spiritually minded and look for the underlying deeper causes here. And our phone lines are jammed, but be patient. I will get to all of your calls. And as soon as the line's freed up, please weigh in particular if you were into violent video games. I just want to hear from you specifically as well. But consider this report from the University of Michigan Health System. Average American child will see 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders on TV by age 18. Two-thirds of all programming contains violence. Most violent acts go unpunished on TV and are often accompanied by humor. The consequences of human suffering and loss are rarely depicted. Many shows glamorize violence. TV often promotes violent acts as a fun and effective way to get what you want without consequences. Children imitate the violence they see on TV, and the report goes on. There's more to share. I want to give you further perspective. But again, the lack of consciousness of God is our greatest issue. Greatest moral crisis in America is our lack of consciousness of God, our lack of fear of God. Jerry Newcomb recently wrote an article. He's getting a lot of flack on some liberal sites for saying fear of God, fear of hell, fear of punishment in the human psyche, human consciousness causes a lessening sense of accountability. Really, there is the feeling that anything goes, and the events with the extreme sanctioning, and deservedly so, Penn State, And the horrors of what we've lived through last week and the families living through this for the rest of their lives, the losses, reminds us that there are deep, deep issues, deep, deep problems in our nation. Can I present a word of hope, though? In the past, America's had some real severe lows, and what turned things around was national revival. The first book I wrote on revival came out in 1989 called The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. I tell you, read this book, and it'll speak to your heart like an arrow, and it'll give you hope for what God can do again. And it's an easy read. It's the most powerful single book I have on revival to just put a holy jolt in you, to give you hope, and to give you a call to how God can move. And it's a sobering book. We've put together a special package with that book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, and the most powerful message I ever preached on spiritual hunger on an audio CD. You can listen to it in your car, anywhere else, called Holy Desperation. The two resources together should be $30 with postage. It's $20 postage paid for the book on revival and for the audio CD. Order today. The needs are urgent, but these messages will ignite something in you. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or just go online, askdrbrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. You'll be able to order right there. Friends, turn to the Lord, heart, soul, mind, and strength. He will answer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, I want to go right back to the phones as we talk about issues of gun control, issues of violence, issues of the deeper underlying problems that this latest massacre, this latest tragic loss of life are speaking to us, issues we must address as God's people. I firmly believe, friends, if those of us in this nation who are believers, here, let me throw this out, 1/10 of all the believers in America, I believe if we truly turn to God in humility and prayer and fasting and crying out and seeking his face, that God would move on behalf of our land. I honestly believe that. Will we do it? The resources I just mentioned in right before the break into the first half hour are tremendously important. End of the American Gospel Enterprise, a book on revival that'll stir you, open your eyes in terms of what God's done in America in the past and show you how low we've been in the past and how God can have mercy if we turn to him. That and the audio CD, Holy Desperation. So just go online, askdrbrown.org, click on the online bookstore to order those. And you, trust me, when you get them, they'll begin speaking to you and ministering to you very quickly and perhaps help make you a vessel of revival. 866-34-TRUTH. Steve in Elmont on Long Island, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Yes, how you doing? I wanted to make a point about you said some of the videotapes. I used to play, you know, violent video games, Doom, and other games where you kill people and you kill things with guns or knives or swords. And so God has delivered me, and I don't want have anything to do with it. That's number one.
Yeah. Now, let me just ask you about that first. No, that's fine. Before you get to your second point, from little research I was doing last night, and common sense would tell you the games are getting more and more graphic, more and more violent. Mm-hmm. And updated editions of the older classics, whatever. But I think you were into it enough to be able to comment. Number one, Steve, did you were the one doing this. You're the one pulling the trigger. So that's actually you against these enemies. How'd that affect you? Did it desensitize you? What was happening in your life playing those?
Definitely desensitized me. I wasn't into God at the time. I was into drugs. I was into alcohol. And my whole life was just a spiritual, physical, mental, emotional mess. And I came crashing down. I actually started living in, the Bowery Mission in the city. And
wow.
I was crawling through the street. I would just go on my knees and fall on my face and just start crying because my mind was spiritually polluted in every kind of way. I was things I thought I never would do. I was thinking about doing, murdering people, maybe molesting a child. I was sick. It had become such a depraved mind, like the Bible says in Romans 1.
So,
my
Steve,
mind
the,
was
the,
depraved.
Yeah, the sin that you were committing, the doors you were opening, the wrong things, that then the video games, all of that, that plays into it. All right.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
All right. I know you had more
Romans
to say, 20. But I've got to ask this, Steve. And we've
okay,
only got
yes,
a minute
sir.
Before the break. How long ago did you get saved? Because this is an amazing story.
Well, I believe that I was a Christian back when I was 25. I'm 47 now. And what happened was I got angry at the church because they did some evil things to people that I thought I saw. And I became the rebel once again. Music, women, drugs, alcohol, hanging out. But I had these battles with the alcohol, drugs. I would stop, I would go back, and was never free from anything. And I don't even watch TV anymore because everything is just, it's physical. It's not a spiritual thing. To me, it's not God. It's not godliness. It's not teaching me anything about the love of Christ. It's not teaching me about loving myself, loving my neighbor. It's not, you know, so I haven't watched TV in almost a year.
Mm.
I think
and I'm sure you're not missing it. All right, tell you what, stay there one more minute. What an amazing testimony of God's grace. Can you imagine that? Living in the Bowery Mission in New York City. If you haven't been in this area, I mean, you're talking about people laying on the street in their own vomit, drunk, hopeless. Jesus can save. He really can.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I wish I had more time to hear more of Steve's testimony. I know many of you have been holding. I want to get to as many calls as possible. Steve, again, I'd love to hear more of your testimony. And maybe you could put it in writing, send it to us one time. But ultimately, if I understand what you're saying, the issue is renewing our minds, not living
well,
the way that
12:2.
Mm-hmm. And it's that simple. If we don't want to be like the world, then we have to see what comes into our hearts, our minds, what we meditate on, what we think about, what we fill ourselves with, because that's ultimately who we're going to become.
You're right. You know.
Go ahead.
I stay home. I'm sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
Go ahead? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I stay home a lot alone, and I'm not afraid of, you know, who I can become. I just volunteered today for, you know, some hours in the volunteers of EMS out in Belmore, Long Island.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to help people. There is a great need. If I believe you said my testimony, I'd like to, you know, reach in a broader scale or a different area or how I could do it. I'd love to be able to share my testimony, but it isn't really easy, you know, just to, you know, do these things. I need help to get there.
Yeah, well, and that's why, Steve, a key thing is to be in fellowship with other believers, to recognize that even though sometimes people in the church can do hurtful things, there are plenty of fine, godly people, and surround yourself with other believers. Jot this verse down, 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22, all twos there about the way that we're to live, and it includes others standing with us. Hey, Steve, thank you so much for the call. Thank God for his mercy in your life. 866-34-TRUTH. Alfred in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I'm for gun control to a point, because you can at least regulate the type of weapons that go out there, and you can restrict the amount of weapons that go out there on the streets. But if you completely go crazy on it and you take it completely offline, then people will resort to bomb making and worse things that you can put out there, you know, instead of trying to have a weapon.
Mm-hmm. And are you a gun owner yourself?
Yes.
Okay. So
I am.
So
and to be honest, is no matter whatever happens, those kind of thoughts never go across my mind. And, you know, living in New York City, you get cut off, and many right. things can happen that can flip that switch they're talking about, but it's never been a thought.
Right. You know what's interesting, Alfred? I'm not a gun person. My dad was a senior lawyer in New York Supreme Court, so I'm the son of a Manhattan Jewish attorney. So I didn't grow up with a hunting, fishing culture in New York City or Long Island. One of our sons-in-law is a hunter, and has guns for hunting, and has worked with the fire department as well, so he knows a lot of the law enforcement people in his city. But he's told us, he said, you grew up with guns, you'll be the least likely person to commit a crime with guns, that it's just part of culture and life, and that the key thing is to grow up with them and understand them, and then it becomes a whole different way of looking at things. But I think the big question that comes up is any control acceptable? Obviously, there's some. All right, but is there enough, or should it be for certain weapons? Just a fair discussion to have. 866-34-TRUTH. Marshall in Lebanon, Connecticut, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I'm going to say a premise quite quickly and ask for a comment. Now, the only thing, unfortunately, that the defendant in rural Colorado and you have are your veteran academics. Now, my comment, as I told Andrew, is from 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9. Part of that says, add to virtue knowledge. Now, I'd like you to please commentent on the availability and the opposition to chaplaincy in higher education. I think there's a dearth of virtue taught with knowledge in academic circles. And I think this guy, although I'm not a forensic psychologist, he was looking for some supernatural experience in this fantasy of Batman. He got a negative one. And it's because there was no availability with his higher education to find virtue.
Yeah, Marshall, the larger question that you ask is an important question. If you think of the foundations of our schools in America, schools like Yale and Harvard, which started as Christian schools, or the great schools in England like Oxford and Cambridge, they started on Christian foundations, and for training clergy, as well as for training Christians just to be viable members of society and contributing members of society. And the first 200, out of the first 200 something colleges, universities founded in American history, the great, great bulk were founded by church groups, church denominations, ministries, and things like that, which meant that teaching virtue, teaching moral principles was first, and knowledge was second. And you think of that compared to the campus scene today with the, you know, the rampant sexual immorality, rampant drugs, rampant alcohol, rampant rebellion, rampant casting off of God in so many ways and so many godless professors. I mean, you couldn't have something more extremely different. So whatever was the case with the murderer, the mass killer in Colorado, whatever is going on in his life, of course, God knows that. But yes, Marsha, where is virtue in our education system? Just with children in school, we're not even talking about teaching religion, but virtue, moral values, moral excellence. When all you have is moral relativism and right is what I say is right, or more, right's what makes me feel good. I feel good about this. Come on, it's rampant in the church. It's rampant in the church. It's a spiritual type of moral relativism where I have to feel good about it. I feel good. I don't feel good about that. And there can be no challenge. There can be no call to go deeper. There can be no self-examination. Yeah, important point. So, Mike Brown, are you saying that there should be teaching of moral virtue in our universities? Yes. Yes, oh, it's a pipe dream, but with God in revival, anything's possible. In fact, in my book, End of the American Gospel Enterprise, where I talk about the state of America in the past, do you know after the Revolutionary War in the late 1700s that America was in a real backslidden condition? Are you aware of that? A real backslidden condition? And that a campus like Yale, when they surveyed some of these Christian campuses, they could barely find any believers? They found maybe a handful, and some they were meeting in secret and keeping their meetings in code for fear of being caught by others, whereas others at the university had signed up for the foul language club. It may not be on the level that we see today, but there have been times of apostasy when God's people turned back to him and cried out to him and asked for mercy, and he poured out his spirit and brought deep repentance and revival. That's been the hope of our nation. That's been the hope of our nation. Again, get the book, End of the American Gospel Enterprise. And by the way, it's a 100-page book, so it's one of these you'll read, and it'll stay with you for life, get right in your heart, your mind, together with the audio CD, Holy Desperation, which is the most important message ever preached on spiritual hunger. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on the online bookstore, and you can take advantage of that. And again, every week we think, okay, what resources can we get into the hands of God's people? Sure, there are ways where this helps us with our broadcast, helps us with our bills. But the biggest issue is, what can we get into your hands that will have an impact on your life that will be relevant? Back to the phones. Ed in Ronkonkoma on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thanks.
I was going to say virtues are what's missing also. It's got to start a little bit earlier, though. But my children play some of these video games. I see them, and they become subliminal to what's going on there. They don't even, they're killing 50 people in a matter of, but then they restart the game, and they're shooting the same people again. So it doesn't seem real to them, and it's a loss. These kids are, they don't understand the values.
And Ed, we've got to model it. As parents, that's going to be the first thing. Here, according to this report, children imitate the violence they see on TV. Children under 8 cannot tell the difference between reality and fantasy, making them more vulnerable to learning from and adopting as reality the violence they see on TV or video games. And again, at the very least, they're being desensitized to the preciousness of human life.
Hollywood's got to be, start being held accountable for some junk they're putting out there also. I mean, there's a movie out called, what's the name of it? It's called Savages. Okay, and it's horrific. The things that are in that movie is horrific, and it just gives ideas to, you know, people.
Yeah, and look, at the least, Ed, it desensitizes us, the violence in the media. At the least, it desensitizes us, and that's degrading to God and to human beings because, excuse me, we're created in the image of God, and therefore human life has special value. But not only that, the other issue is that it makes it easier to act it out, especially for unstable people. But what does it say of a nation when we're entertained by this, friends? What does it say of a nation that is entertained by violence?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire as we reflect on the tragic, tragic massacre in Colorado last week, the question of violence in our culture. And we're talking about gun control issues. We're talking about related things like this, violence in the media. But the deeper, deeper issue is we are a country saturated with violence. God wiped out the earth in Noah's day. One of the reasons was the earth was filled with violence. Now, what level of violence? What's clear is that if God did not destroy it, there would not have been a human being left. Ultimately, human beings would have completely destroyed themselves. And that day could easily come with nuclear warfare and the violent means that we have at our disposal. The deeper issues are spiritual, but all of these issues are worthy of discussion. 866-34-TRUTH. Roger in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you doing?
Very well, okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, it's like I say about a lot of things. There's always some eight ball who messes things up for everybody else. Now, until 1933, you could walk into a gun shop, hardware store, and buy a Thompson submachine gun ammunition with cash. Until these people that they celebrate now on the History Channel started doing all their shenanigans. And would you believe I'm watching the History Channel, and they're actually promoting the Capones and those folks, the Mario Puzo stories, and saying, oh, this is us. This is the history of all of us immigrants. My family wasn't like that. I didn't have a bunch of killers going around shooting people in the face.
Mm.
And that's what they glorify.
So how should we react to this then? What should our response be on a practical or a spiritual level, Roger?
Well, the problem I see all the time is that the press doesn't want liberty for the people, but they want license. They want to be able to say and do whatever they can because they'll sell newspapers or whatever they're selling. I've always been responding in blogs and sending letters and things, but they just don't print things because they don't want to hear from us. Now, you know, the more that we can get up on the firing line and do our thing, you know, to let them know this is what we feel,
mm-hmm.
and this is how we feel, and to make sure we register and we vote and we push and push and push to get the right people in office. I know that's not the whole thing.
It is part. It's a responsibility that we have, and it is part. Hey, Roger, I appreciate the call. Thank you for weighing in, and thank you for those historical thoughts as well. Kathy in Santa Mariches on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay. I just agree with almost everything that's being said today, and I just remember the scariest movie that I watched when I was young was Psycho. And I don't know if you remember that, but there was only one murder and you didn't even see it. Now,
and it was very controversial, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, I mean, I was so young, I don't remember the controversy, but I do remember it was scary and, you know, that was the big rage, like you say. Now you go to the movies, I would never even look at a violent movie, but if you look at the movies now, there's not one person being killed. They just go and kill anybody and everybody in sight. And like you say, it just desensitizes people. And these poor kids are brought up in a culture of death. I mean, you look at TV, what's on TV? CSI, all these shows where all they show are dead bodies that have been killed, molested, everything you could even imagine. And
right, so
the
constant desensitizing, even if the show doesn't glorify violence, it's constantly depicting that or sexual assaults and things like that. And people filled with that, yes, culture of death, even if crime doesn't pay on those shows, still part of the culture of death. And again, I'm not saying it's a sin to watch any of this, but we're making large observations. And Kathy, you're totally right. As I understand, some of the movies in probably recent decades, but all the more in recent years, it's not just the mass violence, but it's depicted with extraordinary brutality, the gratuitous nature of it. And then there are all these flicks that are like torture, mutilation flicks. And this is for entertainment. I think back to when I was 6 years old, West Side Story came out, and I remember talking to our family. We saw it, but I remember talking that, it's a violent movie. When you watch it today, you've got the gangs wearing ties, you know, these neat little suits, and they're doing choreographed dances in the streets, and any violence is basically bloodless. Just six years after that, Bonnie and Clyde comes up, and the violence is at a whole other level, and then you go from there to the more modern movies. It's a steady descent. It's a culture of death. It's a culture of violence. And the solution, although the gun control issues, all that are worthy discussions on both sides. We're glad to discuss it on the air. And the issue of violence in the media, very important to focus on. But ultimately, Kathy, of course, we know these are deeper spiritual issues. And the only hope is to recognize these as symptoms of our sin sickness and to turn back to God. Hey, Kathy, thanks for weighing in with such clarity. I appreciate it. Friends, let me just read an excerpt to you from my book, End of the American Gospel, Enterprise. I was moved on an intensive three-week period in 1989 out of many, many months of prayer and seeking God and fasting when this book was birthed. No one falls overnight. Backsliding is a gradual process. It may take a man 20 years to walk away from God. What we sow this week may not be reaped for months or even years. Blessings experienced today may be the result of yesterday's planting. What will your next harvest bring? The prophet Isaiah declared, when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Isaiah 26:9. On the other hand, where there is no prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. Proverbs 29:18. Let's face the facts. As much as we love the Lord, the fear of the Lord helps keep us from sin. The scriptures are clear on this point. And I quote from 1 Peter 1. It tells us to live our lives with reverence before God. What happens when the fear of the Lord becomes only a religious cliche? And go through scriptures in Ezekiel's day and Malachi's day. How people said, God doesn't care. There's no God, or he's not going to do anything, or he himself is not just. Violence in the land. So this book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, that had a foreword written to it by the late Leonard Ravenhill, he recommended it would be read in churches across America, two chapters at a time, midweek services, said it could spark revival in the nation. That's what he actually believed. It's an urgent message for today, friends. And you can get the book, End of the American Gospel Enterprise, together with my audio CD, Holy Desperation. It's a hunger for God, hunger for the Spirit message, the most powerful I think I've ever preached. Those two resources together, $20, postage paid. So we're saving you about $10. But more importantly, we're getting some key resources into your hand. Even if you're not a reader, you'll read this book easily. Call right now to order. If you can help us with an additional gift, that's wonderful. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or you can conveniently go to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the homepage, the online bookstore, and that'll be the first thing that comes up, our special resource, 1-800-278-9978. Let the fire begin with us. Friends, my bottom line today, it's always so easy to look at the sin of the nation. It's always so easy to look at the decadence and violence that surrounds us. But I urge you, and I urge me, let's go to God, look in the mirror, and say, start a fresh work in me. I've got some spiritual insights on the massacre at the movie theater in Colorado last week, as well as on the Penn State scandal. You're tuned in to the right broadcast today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Friday, we put off our You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers show. I was going to do it today, but the tragic loss of life in Aurora, Colorado is before us all. There are spiritual lessons that we need to learn and important discussions we need to have. So we're going to continue to discuss these things today, as well as some spiritual reflections on the scandal at Penn State University. In fact, I'm going to start there because I didn't get to that at all in the last hour. But glad to have you with us. And I want to open the phone lines right now, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you believe, as we talk first about Aurora, Colorado, and then go over to Penn State, do you believe that the issue here that we should be focusing on is gun control, or do you feel that the massacre in Colorado is a further example of why we need much more stringent gun control rules? Or on the flip side, this is an example of why we need more ability for responsible citizens to carry concealed weapons. What's your take on that? Related question, violence in the media. How much is violence in video games, violence in TV movies, contributing to the ultra-violent culture we have, averaging something like 20 multiple shootings every year? And the massacre, the tragedy in Colorado, the trauma that family members are experiencing right now, as horrific as this is, it was the sixth multiple shooting in the month of July alone. What's your take on this? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to the phones very early in the show today. But first, let me just give you some reflections on Penn State University. This was a school, one of the most prestigious schools in America, and the sports program under Coach Joe Paterno, the late Coach Paterno, at Penn State, the football program, but really the sports program was under him in terms of he was the great influence there. They were considered to be ones who played by the book, who did things with excellence, who were not like the others. So they had very high standards. And of course, it's a great research institute and a tremendous faculty and massive student body. Now, everybody at Penn State, think of this, friends. Everybody at Penn State, every grad from Penn State feels a little tarnished today. Every student at that university feels tarnished today. The sports program, the legacy of Joe Paterno, his statue in front of the stadium removed. His wins over a period of time when he allegedly covered up what was happening with Jerry Sandusky and abuse of boys, when he didn't adequately report it or stopped it from being reported for whatever reasons you would assume to protect the reputation of the university and the football program. He goes from the winningest coach in NCAA history to number 12. Of course, that's minor in all of this, but the whole legacy gets shattered and tattered. $60 million fine. All kinds of other bans and bowl games and things like this in the years to come. Hear me now, please. The big lesson is not just how ugly sin is and the horrific crimes committed against children by Jerry Sandusky, but covering up. That's why this is so severe. If this had not been covered up, Penn State would be shining today rather than in shame. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this Monday on The Line of Fire. We are continuing to discuss the aftermath of the tragedy, the tragic, terrible loss of life in Aurora, Colorado last week. I know people are dying in accidents every day. I know people are dying in unexpected circumstances every day, and every loss of life is something grievous. When you have something like this, which is senseless on top of it, in other words, it didn't have to happen. This is something completely caused by human sin and by an ugly devil that loves to work through human beings. It makes the tragedy in that sense all the more intense and all the more painful. There are corollary issues that relate to it, questions of gun control, questions of violence in the media. I did some research on some of these issues over the weekend and posted an article just an hour and a half ago on Town Hall. Violence and destruction are heard within her. It's actually a quote from the book of Jeremiah, and that is the article name on a conservative political website. Thankfully, I can address these things as long as I'm making a statement that is relevant. And I wrote there, as America reels from yet another devastating tragedy, the message of the ancient Hebrew prophets speaks to us afresh. A nation that is filled with violence is a nation on the verge of collapse. Consider where we stand today. So we are looking at a larger question here of the spiritual condition of the nation, but also talking about some specific issues like violence in the media. Violence in video games, TV, movies, how is that affecting our culture? We're also looking at larger issues, or I should say smaller issues in terms of compared to the spiritual ones, like the question of gun control, and having a conversation about that as well, because everyone on one side or the other uses this occasion to speak up. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. And if you differ with a caller, that's why we have talk radio. By all means, call in. By all means, air your opinion. Make it as constructive as can be, and we'll have it out. We'll discuss these things. But most of all, I want us to point to the spiritual issues involved. And to me, the violence in our society is symptomatic of deep, deep needs in our country, deep, deep sin, deep, deep turning away from God in our land. All of the sociological answers that we can put together fall short of coming to the real root of the problem. Before I go to the phones, though, I just want to come back to this issue of Penn State, the Penn State scandal, and what has happened there. Think of it again now. This is Penn State as a university being censured, Penn State as a university being severely punished, Penn State as an institution as a whole, with its how many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of alumni, thousands of faculty members, and on and on, and the entire football program tarnished. This is happening not primarily because one man was a pedophile. That's not primarily why this is happening. This is happening primarily because there was a covering up of sin. There was a covering up from what the investigations say. There was a covering up. That's why these sanctions have been made. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter. In Hebrew, it's only seven words, but it takes a whole lot more than that to translate it into English. Allow me to quote it in Hebrew. It says, "Mechaseh pesha'av lo yatzliach." Four words in Hebrew. He who covers his sins will not succeed. Umodeh ve'ozev yirucham. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. Just three words in the second half of that verse. He who confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. Yeah, it's talking about an individual covering up sins. It's talking about an individual covering up his or her own sins rather than confessing, coming clean with God, getting right with man where that's necessary to do as well. But when others cover up sin, if all of the charges are true, and obviously people feel sufficient information has been brought forth, sufficient information has been brought forth to indict key leaders at Penn State, and you're talking the highest levels of the organization there. If all of this is true, it means that there was a massive cover-up. People knew that evil was taking place and did virtually nothing to stop it and covered it up. That's why this is happening. So I just want to urge you, if there are areas in your own life or ministry, maybe there's a pastor I'm speaking to, and there's someone on your church staff that you love and care about that's been guilty of serious sin, don't cover it up. If you care about that person, if you care about your flock, deal with this righteously. Bring it to those that need to know so it is dealt with righteously and honestly. Otherwise, Penn State stands as a warning for all of us. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to the question of gun control, turning back to Aurora, Colorado, let's talk for a moment about violence and media violence in video games. I got online last night and just was doing research on most violent video games. I hardly play video games ever. Sometimes on my phone I might, and it'll be like a sports game or something like that. And even that is rare. Holy me. No, I'm not saying it because I'm great. I'm just telling you that's I don't play these, but certainly violent video games I've never played. I remember in mid-1980s when I got my first PC, my first computer. Now, okay, it's probably a little bit later, late 1980s, because I'm thinking where this was when we lived in Maryland. And there was a game that came with the computer, and there was a guy, he was like in a Nazi prison, and he's trying to break out, and, you know, he shoots somebody, and next thing, the blood splatters on the screen. You have to realize it's pretty primitive graphics. And then he's got to get something to eat or something or ammunition, whatever it is, because his strength is getting lower and lower. He's about to be killed. And I remember my heart starting to pound playing it. I thought, whoa, that pulled me right in. So I just deleted the game from the computer. And, you know, that's been it. But I understand, just researching and looking at some of these things, the level of violence that's there is mind-boggling. A little bit later in the program, I'll share some of this with you. At the very least, friends, it desensitizes us. At the very least, it desensitizes us, and it makes us more prone to think in ways that are contrary to the ways of God, because God's a God of life. A previous caller last hour talked about the culture of death that we're raised in, even if it's a show like CSI or whatever, that dead bodies and corpses and victims of violence, and everyone seeing that. You have to wonder, how wholesome is that, even where the violence is not being glorified? How wholesome is that? And that really is the tip of the iceberg for violence in media, violence in our culture. Certainly, it desensitizes us. Certainly, it devalues human life to us. And certainly, for some, be they unstable people or otherwise, for some, it empowers them all the more to do horrific deeds. Margarita in Central Islip, she couldn't hold. She's been on for a while. She was just going to tell him about daycare and some of the games she's seen boys playing in daycare. I asked this question last hour. I want to put it out again. If you used to play violent video games, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 6 months ago, used to play these violent video games, give me a call. 866-34-TRUTH. I would dare say the majority of our listeners don't know the level of violence, decadence, junk, horrific stuff that's out there. Give us a call. Tell us what's out there. Tell us what you played and the effect that it had on you. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. Gun control, we'll talk about it starting right now. Michael in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello, Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, brother. God bless you, Dr. Brown, you and your family. Some things that really have been touching me since this Aurora thing is, first of all, in life, God made us to have relationship with Him only. Any other way we live for self, you're going to always have this kind of life of people living their own way in life, you know, within sin. You can always have evil in the world.
Yep.
You know, the things I wanted to bring up is, number one, is that, you know, as far as having 6,000 pieces of ammunition, you know, from what I hear as far as prescription drugs, everything is regulated. If I get a prescription drug, you know, for prescription drugs, at the Oxycontin or whatever, you know, I go to the drugstore, I fill a prescription. If I try to go back within a certain period of time, there are red flags on the computer.
Got it. All right. Yeah, Michael. Yeah, let me just jump in. I think that's a major issue for people. Universalization, so that one place knows what the other's doing, some kind of database, and the level of weapons and ammo people can have. All right, Michael, thank you for calling.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire as we continue to reflect on the tragedy in Aurora, Colorado, the tragic loss of lives, and spiritual lessons for us here in America. Can I remind you that according to Genesis 6, one of the reasons God destroyed the earth in Noah's day was because the earth was filled with violence. Let me say what I said last week. Let me repeat it again. Today, the greatest moral crisis in America is the lack of the consciousness of God. The lack of consciousness of God. The lack of fear of God. Friends, if we walk with God consciousness, America would look radically different. Oh, the church would look radically different. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I posted an article on Town Hall I'd encourage you to read and then share with your friends, called Violence and Destruction Are Heard Within Her. That's on townhall.com. I'm going to go right back to the phones in a moment. We're talking about some of the natural questions surrounding the massacre in Aurora, Colorado. We're talking about gun control laws, and I've been asking for calls on both sides so people can air their views. We're talking about violence in the media, violence in entertainment. But just noticed that there was a hello from an old friend of our family. The church in which I got saved in 1971 was an Italian Pentecostal church in Queens, New York, and there was a very godly young woman in the congregation there that we got to know. I got to know her as I was saved, got to know her family. Her mom was Jewish, and brothers serving the Lord together with her. And then Nancy got saved. We got married, Nancy and I, right before this young lady and her husband. And I just saw that she had called and said hello. So this takes me back to 1971 when I got saved, and she was a very committed believer. And wow, I didn't know that, you know, I thought everyone in the church was saved out of the womb because they seemed so holy. But as I was memorizing scripture, and I got to the point of memorizing 20 verses a day and did that for months, God gave me the grace to do that as a year-old believer in the Lord. I remember this young lady, Anna, came up and asked me a question. So Anna, if you're listening, see if you remember this. This is in the King James. You said to me, which verse in the Bible has an exclamation point and a question mark in the same verse? An exclamation point and a question mark in the same verse. And it hit me. Romans 6, I had the verse. I remember that. But why do I bring that up now? To tell you that if God could save someone like me, and these folks that were in the church when I got saved, they can tell you I was a very lost sinner when I showed up there. If God can save an individual like me, he can save millions of individuals like me. That's over 40 years ago. If he can change one person or five or 10, he can change a million. Revival, turning back to God, friends, that is our hope, and it's our only hope. All right, I want to take another gun control-related call and then get to the violence in the media issue. Casey in Bradenton, Florida, please give me your take on the gun control issue.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Yes, hello.
Hello. I'm not for the gun control thing. I believe that those people that are mentally unstable are just going to find other means. I really don't think that that's the answer. I think that, you know, that there's no consequences for your actions is the biggest problem in this country today. You know, there's no deterrent. And even the Bible clearly shows that you have a consequence for everything you say, think, and do in one form or another. Proverbs is filled with that. And here you're looking at somebody who obviously doesn't believe they're ever going to stand before God and have to answer to him. And right now we're watching what the government's going to do concerning this individual, and there may be no consequence other than them saying that he wasn't mentally in his right mind and they lock him up for the rest of his life. I believe that Florida or Texas, for instance, that this would have been a different outcome. There's a huge number of concealed carries in both of those states, and I think people would have got shot, but I think this guy probably would have got shot before he was actually able to kill 12 people.
Yeah, Casey, I actually read a study, an academic study written a few years back, saying that even a fear of punishment for someone like this, say, a death sentence for a mass murder, that maybe there's something different in their heads, that won't stop them. And the only thing that can limit the casualties is concealed weapons. We had a caller earlier in the first hour who mentioned Mexico. The average citizen cannot have weapons, and there's complete chaos there with drug lords and all the ammunition, all the weaponry that they have. Someone posted earlier, and said, country like Switzerland, people are well-armed, and it's a very safe place to be. So I believe it's a fair discussion to have, but without a doubt, there are deeper issues. Without a doubt, there are much deeper issues that we need to look at. Jerry Newcomb wrote an article in One News Now talking about the fear of God and hell and how that's completely out of the thinking of most of us. Even if most Americans believe there's such a place as hell, maybe they 1 in 100 thinks they deserve to go there. But the question of the fear of God, the question of the consciousness of God, the question of being a God-aware society. Look, there is an account of a famous rabbi who was dying, a Talmudic rabbi, an ancient Jewish rabbi, and his disciples asked him to pray for them, to pray a blessing, and he prayed that they would fear man as much, that they would fear God as much as they feared man. And they thought, what? We should fear God much more than we fear man. He said, look, a thief who's going to steal, he doesn't think, well, God's not going to see him. He knows God's going to see him. He's just going to steal so people don't see him. If we could live with the consciousness of God the way we live with the consciousness of people, that we would never do certain things because people would see it, people would know it, there would be consequences and so on. What if we lived in the sight of God like that? We need a return to God, a turning to God, a humbling of ourselves. And in the church, it's got to begin among us, friends. I wrote a book in 1989. It kind of exploded out of me. 100 pages I wrote in 3 weeks, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. It is the strongest single message on revival, the sinful state of America in the past and how revival turned things around. The single strongest burst of a message I ever put in print on revival. It's a 100-page book, and we've packaged it together with the most important audio message I've ever preached on spiritual hunger and hunger for the Spirit, called Holy Desperation. The two resources with postage should be about $30, but they're yours, $20, postage paid. And trust me on this, you get this book, you're going to start reading it. It'll be hard to put down, and it'll light a fire in you to go after God and to humble yourself and to seek his face. The same thing with the message. So two great resources, an audio CD. You can listen to it as you drive in your car or on your computer, and the book, of course, to take and read. So call the order, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or if it's easier, just go to our website, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Click on the online bookstore and you'll be able to take advantage of the resource offer there. 1-800-278-9978. Back with your calls and much more. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire today. I was going to do our Friday broadcast today. You've got questions, we've got answers. But I'm still putting that off because of the nature of the tragedy that we're dealing with in Aurora, Colorado, and the larger issues that tie in with it. And that's what we're going to focus on today. I made some observations about lessons from Penn State, the scandal there, the penalties that have now come against the university, the complete tarnishing of the legacy of Joe Paterno. The great lesson there being that if you cover up sin, ugly, unjustifiable, dangerous, harmful sin, if you cover it up for whatever reason, it's going to come back and bite you. It's going to come back and bite you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to focus, though, on the subject of violence. Wrote an article, just posted it 2 hours ago on Town Hall, "Violence and Destruction Are Heard Within Her." That's from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 7. God spoke this about Jerusalem shortly before it was destroyed. "Violence and destruction," God said, "are heard in her. Her sickness and wounds are ever before me." Friends, that's the state of our nation. 1961, friends, West Side Story was the Academy Award-winning movie. 1961. Watch it today. It was considered violent in its day. It's basically bloodless. Any of the violent acts are pretty much sanitized. And the gangs wear ties and these little neat jackets and do choreographed dances on the streets. 6 years later, Bonnie and Clyde. And that ended with a violent, violent outburst that was a shocker for the day. How far from there to natural-born killers? And I'm no expert on violence in movies in terms of being an eyewitness to it, but I've read enough about these things. Today, the blood and gore is such, that the gratuitous violence is such, that it's mind-boggling that we're entertained by this. It points to deeper, deeper issues in our nation. And University of Michigan Health System report put together lots of different studies. Average American child will see 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders on TV by age 18. Most violent acts go unpunished on TV. I was looking at most violent video games. There was one, Postal 2, came out probably a few years back, and it mentioned, this is going to be graphic, it mentioned in the game using cat carcasses as silencers on your gun, hitting people with anthrax-laden cow heads, and playing fetch with dogs using the severed heads of your dismembered victims. There's a massive market for these types of games, and kids and young people and older can call them, play them by the hour. By the hour. Do you enter into those roles? At the very least, doesn't it desensitize? If God destroyed the earth in Noah's day because the earth was filled with violence, what does it say of the state of our nation? Now, I'm about to get to the phones, but I've asked the question of those who used to play violent video games, or perhaps still do, to tell me about the violence that's on them and what kind of effect it had or has on you. You know, if I'm not arguing that everyone who plays those goes out and commits those atrocities. Otherwise, there'd be 1,000 or a million such atrocities every day across the nation. I am saying it desensitizes us to the preciousness of human life. It glorifies violence. It cheapens the notion that human beings are created in the image of God. Just slice them and dice them and burn them and shoot them. And that's the way it is in the games. And it makes people more prone to violent acts, and those who are unstable, perhaps more likely to commit them. So we're going to come back and talk about that and further reflections on the shooting, the tragedy in Aurora, Colorado. We need to return to the consciousness of God. That is the big, big lack in America. Okay, back with your calls. John in Ogden, Utah, you're up first.
Of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, Genesis 6, 11, and 13. The earth was filled with violence. The earth was on the verge of destroying itself, and God had to wipe out the earth and preserve Noah and his family. Otherwise, there would have been no one, nothing left. I haven't mentioned the violence done towards babies in the womb. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Our nation is flooded with the blood of the innocent. What does it say of our spiritual state and our need? America's been messed up in the past. We have had a lot of ups and downs in our history. And the one thing that has turned the tide is a fresh wave of revival. And nothing less than that will do. I see no social or political solutions. I see a turning to God. And that begins with us who know God, humbling ourselves, asking for mercy, and turning to Him and starting to live in the consciousness and fear of God in our own lives. All right, talking about violence in the media, movies, TV, video games. John in Ogden, Utah, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
All right, let me just throw a few things out there. I play violent video games almost on a daily basis. I own guns. I have a handler's permit. And I don't know if there's really a connection between the two for me personally. I don't have a violent bone in my body. I guess I'll leave it up to you to ask me whatever questions you want.
Yeah, sure. I would love to ask, and I appreciate you calling, John. Could you just tell me the names of some of the games that you play?
Left 4 Dead, the Modern Warfare, Battlefield.
Mm-hmm. And about how much time would you? Yeah, about how much time would you say on average you play these games on a daily basis?
On a good day, I could play 3 hours. Mm-hmm. But I'll play for 30 minutes to an hour, mostly.
Got it. And what type of violence takes place in these games?
You stab people, shoot people.
How graphic is it?
There's a lot of blood and gore. Left 4 Dead, you're mostly killing zombies and whatnot. It's got kind of, as far as violence goes, it's got kind of a demonic dimension behind it, I would say, personally. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then what's happening to you is, as you're playing this, how much are you role-playing? Are you the guy that's taking out these zombies or these other people? Or how much
you know,
just...
Most games I play, you're more like the hero, you're saving the day. There are games that you are the bad guy and you just go around causing random acts of violence, kind of what mm-hmm. happened in Colorado. And
right.
I can't really play those games. They do disturb me.
Okay, so that disturbs you. Now, do you consider yourself a follower of Jesus?
Yes, absolutely. Whether
all right.
this video game playing thing puts me in a bad spot or not, I don't know, but I feel comfortable with it.
All right, so tell you what do you do with a verse like this, Philippians 4:8? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Could you think about the video games and the violence of that and put it together with this verse, or do you find it on the opposite side?
Honestly, I don't want to try and make up excuses for it, but I guess to actually do that, I would say that in the reality sense of violence and hatred and stuff, I do not think of those things. If video games fall in that category, then I guess I'm guilty. But when it comes to stuff like in Colorado, that kind of stuff literally breaks my heart. And,
yeah, I would think that the great majority of folks that are playing video games are still heartbroken or shocked or grieved when they hear of this actually being carried out. And they'd say, hey, it's just a game. But the problem is, though, if we're to fill our minds with godly thoughts, I know when I used to play a lot of video games, mainly sports video games, I'm thinking late 70s, early 80s, I really got into playing. I really enjoyed it. And if you're playing on a daily basis or even, 3 hours, it's something to think about. What would happen if you stepped away from that and spent that time worshiping the Lord and reading the Word? Paul writes in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, he says, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. So let me just throw out one more question to you. And I appreciate you calling and being honest. That's why I'm not trying to jump all over you and attack you and how dare you. I'm trying to talk this through. And owning guns is a separate issue. One of my sons-in-law is a hunter, and he's told Nancy and me, because we don't come from hunting, fishing backgrounds, that living around guns, growing up on a farm and living around hunting, and basically you'd be the last person that's going to commit a crime with them. So the gun owning thing is not the issue to me. But do you think that in heaven, in the world to come, you're in the presence of the Lord, that games like this would be fitting and appropriate?
Oh, absolutely not.
All right. Well, that's the biggest thing, John, to think about, that if you put these away and spent that time reading the Word, praying, worshiping, filling your mind with beautiful, godly thoughts, you'd be amazed at what would happen. I don't mean that you're a violent person now, John, or that you're the next one that's going to go out and commit some atrocity. No, I, of course not. But it's that desensitizing to being entertained by evil or gratuitous violence or things that would just be out of place in the presence of God, that you're called to something higher than that. You're called to something more than that. And the other thing, if you break away, you'll find out if you're addicted or not. But let me really challenge you. Take out the Word, read the Word, pray, worship, fill your heart and mind. The time you would have spent on the other things, spend doing that, and give me a shout in a month or so. Tell me what's happened in your life. But, John, thanks for calling, and seriously consider the things I shared with you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. I know some of you are saying, go after it. Here's someone very civilly and honestly talking about these things, and we're going to have a discussion about them. 866-34-TRUTH. Vern in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Brown. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
A lot of it you've touched on, I was going to say, but you did a better job than I did. But I'm 60, and I grew up with combat on TV, a war movie of World War II. I grew up with the Rifleman. I grew up with Gunsmoke. I grew up with guns for Christmas, toy guns, guns for my birthday, toy guns. Well, we played Army, we played War, we played Cowboys, we played Indians. I think the only difference between then and now is we had responsible parents and teachers who taught us right from wrong. You were punished for doing wrong. Discipline, God was in the school. Discipline, God was in the home. And I think now it's stripped out of the home. It's stripped out of the schools. And so now I don't think the kids today really know what's right and what's wrong. And that's the sad part about it.
There was a caller in the first hour who just mentioned the lack of virtue that's in our school systems. He was talking about universities and things like that. And the fact that there's not moral virtue being taught, there's not moral virtue in the educational system, in the mindset. And when we have moral relativism, when we have it from grade school up through our universities, in fact, where there's often a hostility to moral absolutes, there's just a larger breakdown in culture. And someone could say, look, you grew up playing cops and robbers or Indians and cowboys and whatever games that we would play as kids. Yeah, and we had our toy guns and we'd make believe we're shooting each other and pow, pow, you're dead and the person would fall to the ground. It's the gratuitous nature of things. It's the visualization of the violence. It's the intensity of it and the glorifying of it that just points to a deeper desensitizing of our souls. And turning to God means turning to moral absolutes, moral principles. Hey, if a kid used to watch on TV Father Knows Best or Leave It to Beaver or Andy Griffith Show, and that was the place of learning ethics and family values and behavioral principles, and you compare to what the kid's going to learn today. Hey, just to read this again, average American child will see 200,000 violent acts and 16,000 murders on TV by age 18. How can that not affect us? And how does that not point to a larger degeneration in our culture, one that only Jesus himself can solve as we turn back to the Lord? Back with more of your calls. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire as we continue to reflect on the tragic loss of life in Aurora, Colorado, the question of violence in our culture. Earlier, we reflected on the Penn State scandal and the tragic consequences of covering up sin. Let me try to get to a few more calls. Dan in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thanks for answering the call. Yeah, one of my concerns is it just seems like every time something like this happens, it's like almost everybody, including a lot of Christian media, focuses on the curse rather than on what blessings there might be in it. I know I went to a presentation by a group called International Justice Mission at the church I attended Saturday. That are involved heavily in sexual trafficking, and they have a fourfold purpose that they stated. The first is victim relief. Mm-hmm. The second is victim aftercare. The third is perpetrator accountability. And the fourth is structural transformation. And it seems like we tend to get somewhere in this that we want to figure out what's wrong with this guy so we can help other people that have similar inclinations rather than helping the people that are actually hurt in the whole thing.
I understand, Dan, in terms of focus. And honestly, for me, the big issue here is to not see the continual degeneration of our country and culture without sounding alarm. It's part of my calling and role to sound an alarm, to awaken us, but to tell us if we can turn to God and humble ourselves. We've got grads involved in human trafficking, and they're dealing with this horror every day. And I'm going to do a show on it one of these days. And it's extraordinary what's happening, the level of suffering and the level of evil, and so much of it just for money and power. And obviously, we're looking at all of these issues, the systemic issues and the individual issues. But for me, Dan, the biggest thing is we've got to turn to God. And if we turn to God, massive change can come. And if we don't wake up to the reality of the need, if something like this doesn't awaken us again to the level of evil and violence in our society, very little will. So that to me is the issue, not this the individual, although concerned about him as well, the victims, everyone involved. But it's larger than that for me. It's the nation as a whole and our need for God. That's what I'm trying to focus on, if you can understand that.
There's a verse that came to me just as you were, right before you came to the Philippians verse from Ephesians 4, where Paul was praying fervently for the day when we would all reach a really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and the completeness found in him, which is the Amplified Bible. And
yeah.
I know I've been going to, for about a year and a half, I attended a course on supposedly on authentic manhood, which focused mainly on sports and taking your kids skiing and similar things. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of that stuff.
They're larger issues in terms of authentic manhood. That's part of it. But the larger issues of what it really means to be a man and a moral leader. Hey, Dan, I've got to run. I want to get to a couple more calls, but thanks for weighing in. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. Nancy and I and our younger daughter Meg was over at the house, And I said, you know, there were three young men who died saving their girlfriends or fiancés. They dove on them. They covered them. They were shot. And the fiancé survived. Can you imagine the horror of that? The girlfriend survived. The horror and trauma of that whole situation. But I said, that's what a man should do. In other words, we want to just break down all distinctions, no difference between men and women. No, that's what a man should be, a protector. A man should do that. All right, let me try to get to one or two more calls. Dave in Beaverton, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks, Dr. Brown. I'll try to make it as quick as possible. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. I had a typical boyhood where I grew up playing cops and robbers, army men, G.I. Joes, that sort of thing, playing with toy guns. A significant part of that, of what was going through my mind and heart when I was doing that, was the idea of fighting bad guys, defending the innocent, defending loved ones, and so forth. And then a few years ago, in order to find some way where I could spend some time and then bond with my teenage son, I got into playing the video game Halo with him. And that's a first-person shooter, fairly violent game, not nearly as graphic as some of them, you know, are now. But and it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was like, you know, cops and robbers on steroids, kind of, you know. But anyway, my point, to get to my point, I love movie genres like Westerns, war movies, Braveheart, Lord of the Rings, et cetera. And for me, part of the appeal of these kinds of movies is the sense of fighting evil. But now here's the point. As a believer, I believe the Lord is convicting me, not that that sort of stuff is bad, you know, per se or in and of itself, but if I really want to, you know, if I really want to be a hero like, you know, Aragorn in Lord of the Rings or something, hey, there's a real war I can really be involved in, and it's the spiritual war, and you know, and it's real. In fact, it's more real than a real physical war.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and the demonic spirits are uglier than any movie or video game could convey. And right,
yeah.
The ultimate war has got to be fought spiritually. Even if some of these things were fighting against evil and there's some tension released through it, the fact is, overall, violent video games desensitize us overall. I'm not saying in every case without exception. I'm saying overall, they desensitize us. And just ask a question, friends. Just ask a question. And thanks, Dave, for being honest, because a lot can relate to it. Yeah, get into it a certain way and realize, you know, there's a better way. You know, I'm spiritually getting polluted in this process. And as an earlier caller admitted, he could not see doing these things in the presence of God in heaven. In other words, they would be utterly inappropriate. Look, the movie genres now with torture, mutilation movies for our entertainment, entertained by the horror and the violence, it gets more and more extreme. And it's got to get more and more extreme because what titillated and satisfied yesterday won't today. What does it mean when we have a nation filled with such violence? The Aurora tragedy was actually the sixth multiple shooting of the month of July as well, and it's the litany of horror, the Fort Hood massacre, the Columbine massacre, Virginia Tech, one after another. To me, gun control laws are not the issue. And to me, violence in the media is a problem. And I'm not saying there's nothing to discuss with gun control. I'm saying that's not the large question for me at all here. And the violence in the media is a symptom of the sickness of the nation. We need the consciousness of God. We need to turn back to Him. I was thinking yesterday, okay, what resource will fit in with our topic today? And I want to get into your hands my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. It's the first book I wrote on revival in an intensive three-week period in 89, kind of exploded out of me. It'll change your life. It's a 100-page read. That and the most important message ever preached on spiritual hunger called Holy Desperation. The audio CD and the book, just $20, postage paid. You can order online by going to askdrbrown.org. Just click on the online bookstore, or you can call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. I'm talking about resources that will ignite your heart. Friends, the bottom line, America's been messed up many times in the past and in many different ways. America has been in crisis before. Our answer then is the same as our answer now. We need to turn to God.